Okay, welcome to Module 5, where we're going to learn how to find the right education to follow your career path, which you learned how to choose in the previous module number 4. So this is what you're going to learn today. You'll learn how to effectively research your future university or college, and you're going to find out how to evaluate each school so that you find the perfect university for you and your career path. And you're going to consider the location of the school and what to consider and when you're choosing a school that may not be close to you or may be far away from you or may be close to you, depending. And then, of course, we're going to look at a guide to applying to graduate school, because we mentioned a lot in this course about how graduate school can help you succeed and further your career in the specific path that you take. So, of course, we're going to go through how to apply for graduate school and what specifics you need to know. So let's look at researching your university or college. What you want to do is you want to research every school possible that fits your career path. You want to look for reviews of those schools when you start researching them. You know, magazine articles. In Canada, we have a Maclean's magazine, where once a year they release the rankings of each university based on specific categories. Overall category, science, arts, psychology, whatever categories that they can find, you know, the campus and everything like that. So what you want to do is you want to look for magazine articles like that for your specific country that you want to go to or your own country. And most magazines or internet sites have one. One ranking site that's actually pretty good is studentsreview.com. And what that is it takes a lot of universities, mostly based in the States, where students have gone online and actually reviewed each program. So it's you know, separated by program. So that's an important way to find out, or a good way to find out more about the school that you're going to. Then you want to do, you want to write down the advantages and disadvantages of about each university. And then this can apply to anything. It can apply to the actual program, it can apply to the curriculum, it can apply to tuition, location, things like that. Everything you need to know what you're going to do for a university, you write them down as an advantage or disadvantage, and then compare them with each school. So what you want to do, though, is you want to make sure you find schools that line up with your career path. Okay, you don't want to have a school that you go to, say you want to, your career path is working with whales. Well, you don't want to go to a school that works with something else, you know, water pollution, that focuses on water pollution or sea turtles or something like that. You want to focus on a university where a lot of their research programs deal with whales, because what you're going to happen is you're going to get professors who teach that those courses that are going to apply their own research to the courses. So that's very important. Okay, so how are you going to evaluate each school? What you're going to do is you're going to choose a handful of schools from the research results that you gathered from the previous slide, based on the previous slide. Then you're going to just determine which school is active in your career path. So every school has a research program, or most schools have a research program. Now, what you want to do is, just as I mentioned, is you want to make sure that their research program fits your career path. And what you want to do, too, to help that, is you're going to look at the profiles of each professor that are or the faculty member at each school. Okay, what that's going to do is that's going to help you focus on, each professor actually has a theme or a couple of themes that they focus their research on. And that's going to tell you how the university conducts, or what the university specializes in. Because those professors are the ones that drive the research, and they teach the professors are the ones that teach the students. So again, if you have professors who deal a lot with whale research and you want to go into whale protection or ocean conservation, then that's the right school. That tends to be the right fit for you. So write that one down and keep an eye on it. Also, what I find helps is if you call a department and actually speak to someone at the school, usually like an admin assistant or somebody in the department that you're in, for which you're interested, they will tell you about past graduates. They will tell you about the types of jobs that the graduates will get. They'll tell you about the life at the school, what people think about it, things like that. Now, a lot of the times you have to think they work for that university. They're going to have a lot of good things to say about that university. But every once in a while, you might, you know, detect something that may not be completely right. That might be, you know, sort of a switch that kind of goes on and says, maybe this isn't the right school for me. Then you want to also speak with any graduates of the program that you're interested in at that university. Okay, if you know a friend of a family friend, or a friend of a friend who went there, or even go on Facebook, in the groups and find out what the life is like. Because graduates tend to be very honest. They will tell you about, good times they've had, bad times, regrets that they had. For instance, if somebody asked me about the university that I went to, the University of Guelph, I could tell them that as a marine biologist student, I wish I had volunteered more in a lab while I was there, because I didn't know I could do that as an undergraduate student at the time. I was a bit naive at the time, but I just got caught up in the whole university life. I didn't know that that would better my chances of getting a job in the future. So things like that, that really help. Other things I would say is I really like the campus. I like the people. It's really close to the school. It's nice. Things like that, is comforting to hear that when you go to a university. So talk to graduates as much as possible. Now we're looking at location, and now everything location really matters, in terms of what job you're going to get and also the university that you're going to go to. So there's a couple things that you need to know when you're considering choosing a school that's out of your location or the location of a school. One is, do you get homesick? Do you want to go away to a university, or do you want to stay home? A lot of people who go away first couple of months get a little homesick. Now, that level of homesickness can vary to people being completely depressed and not doing well in their school and not wanting to be there all the time, so their marks suffer, and then eventually their career will suffer, because if you don't have good marks going through your university, you have a tougher time getting a job or a graduate degree or whatever. But other people do well when they're out. They want to enjoy the culture of where they're at, if they're in a different country or a different city, and they want to make the most of their sort of adventure, their 4-year adventure. So homesickness is actually something to consider. Then you want to know if the distance will affect tuition. So for good examples in the United States, if you go to a school that's within the state that you live in, it's much cheaper to attend that school. Often it could be $3,000 a semester, $6,000 for the year. However, if you go to an out-of-state school, it could be double, triple, quadruple the amount. And if you go to an out-of-country school, it could be even more. So the location actually can dictate the tuition that you're going to have to pay, which will eventually dictate whether you can afford to go to that school or not. Also, you have to think about, is it beneficial to be by a coast, an ocean coast, or a large lake coast like the Great Lakes? Typically, if you're at a coast, you have on a coast, you have more of a chance to go out and get experience in the actual ocean. So if you're a scientist, you can actually go sampling in the ocean at more times. It'd be easier to go out. Sort of what I'm getting at is, I went to a university that was, in southern Ontario, but for marine biology. So to get to the ocean, we had to take a field course and go to the ocean for like 2 weeks out of the year. Whereas I know a lot of people who went to school on a coast, some of their courses would go every week out on a boat on the ocean to do some sampling, do anything, just learn about the ocean. So being by a coast will probably benefit you in terms of getting a knowledge for the ocean and having more time to spend at an actual ocean. Sounds silly, but it's something that I had to consider, when going to the University of Guelph and going in Ontario. So the other thing you want to do is look at, do you want to work with on a specific ocean? Do you want to work in the Arctic? Do you want to work in the Gulf of Mexico? Do you want to work in the Atlantic? Do you want to work in the Pacific? Do you want to work, in the Southern Pacific? Do you want to work in the Indian Ocean? A lot of times the university that you go to, you'll be networking within that university, and you'll tend to have more job offers within the area. So for instance, if you go to school in California where you're on the Pacific, you can actually get a job. You have a higher chance of getting a job locally there because of your network, because there's going to be more local connections within that network. So the chances are of working in a Pacific Ocean for the rest of your life or a good part of your career would be higher. So if you want to work in the Arctic, but you go to Pacific school, you may not want to have that kind of education. If you may want to go to something like the University of Alaska or somewhere there for the Arctic. Now let's look at applying to graduate school. Okay, because there's really a couple ways to apply to graduate school, I mean, there's different graduate school courses, and we'll get to that in just a sec. But what you want to do, what I suggest you do before you even consider applying to graduate school is get a bit of work experience between the undergraduate and the graduate degrees. Okay, because what that does is you graduate from your undergraduate degree, you have your one or two career paths that you focused on, somewhat related. And then you have a chance to work a little bit so that what happens is you get to learn on the job and you get to learn whether that career path is right for you, if that's what you want to do. So for instance, if you go into private consulting and you do work 1 or 2 years in private consulting, you get some experience, but you realize you don't really like that. Or you do like a specific part of it, and you want to go back to do a master's or a PhD to get better expertise in that particular area. Okay, or you want to just, okay, I'm going to switch some my career path number two and get more experience and get maybe a little experience in that work and work in that field, and then go back as a master's or a PhD student to get a better expertise in that area. So working allows you to find out whether you want, career path number one or career path number two, or a certain aspect of both, and allows you to focus more on your graduate degree. Because when you get a graduate degree, you are focused. You are an expert in a particular area, in a very small niche. So your career focus narrows, and you have less chance of getting a general sort of job. You tend to focus on a specific area. Okay, so before you even think about graduate degree, you have to pick what kind of degree do you want. Do you want a bachelor of science, for an undergraduate school? Obviously, you're going to have an undergraduate degree. Do you want a professional engineering degree, designation? Do you want a master's? Do you want it in science? Do you want it in business? Do you want, whatever you want, or a PhD or a graduate diploma? And typically, a graduate diploma is usually you learn a lot about a specific skill set. Like, say, for instance, I went to do an advanced graduate diploma for GIS, for Geographic Information System, digital mapping and spatial analysis. So you learn a specific, I learned skill set in GIS, or a specific set of skill sets in GIS. And then also there's, you can do look for as field technicians, fundraising, communications, things like that. So there's a lot of different skills that you can learn for a graduate diploma. So picking that degree could save you a lot of time and money to figuring out will it benefit you in your career path. So you may not need it. As a private consultant, a lot of times you don't need a PhD. Okay, in fact, it actually could hinder you because as a private consultant, the better education you have or the further education you have, the more you charge out per hour, but you can actually overcharge yourself where people don't want to pay for that type of expertise. So having a PhD, you have to have a certain hourly rate compared to a master's, but some people may not want to pay for that. So, it's something to consider. Then also you have to think about, would a graduate degree benefit your career path? Is it worth it? Is it worth the money? Is it worth the return on investment for your career? Okay, sometimes you may not need that degree. Sometimes you would, or a specific degree. So you have to really think about that. Now, in a graduate degree, there's usually two major degrees, type of degrees. There's the course degree and there's the thesis research degree. Now, the course degree essentially is you'll take a set of courses over a set period of time to obtain a degree or diploma. Okay? So that's the basis of a course degree. Now, there's different types of programs that you can do, but some of them are more expensive than others. For instance, the onlines are more expensive than the in-person programs. Okay, so you want to make sure that you speak to, again, to graduates of these programs to see if they got jobs in that specific area after the program. You want to make sure it's worthwhile, because if you're going to spend a lot of money to do this, you got to make sure it's worthwhile. Then you want to find out the course list and make a judgment based on, make a judgment whether you should take the course based on sort of the curriculum and what it entails. For instance, I looked at applying to an online program that was really expensive, sometimes like, $800 to $1,500 per course or per credit. And, I looked at some of the course titles. It looked really good. I clicked on the course titles, and I looked at the description of the course title, And it wasn't the fact that the description didn't match the course title. It was the fact that I wasn't really interested in what I was learning. I realized that that didn't really want to, that wasn't the career that I wanted to focus on. So knowing that, it saved me a lot of money and a lot of time. And you know, whereas I would have done the courses, then realized I really don't want that kind of career. I don't really want that designation. It doesn't follow my career path, okay, that I wanted. So it's something that you need to do just to make sure that, you know, whether you want to take the course, whether it's actually going to benefit your career. And you also want to know the requirements of the courses if you want to take this program. You want to make sure you can actually get into the course, that get into the program. You know, that either you have to have a certain GRE in the States, you know, you have to have a grade point average at a certain mark, whether it be 3.6 or 4 or whatever, you know, or a high GPA. You know, you want to make sure you have those requirements to get into the program. And then you want to know that whether the program offers experience. Some course degrees break it up as an internship, and you get to work in a real workplace and get real world experience. That could help you not only in getting the real world experience for your particular career path, but it can actually help you start building your network as you work in different workplaces. Now you're looking at the research degree. The research degree, typically what happens is you're gonna have the student has a supervisor. So the supervisor actually guides you through your research thesis. Okay, so when you search for a supervisor, you want to make sure the supervisor is actually interested in the same research topic and has money to pay you as a graduate student to work in the same research area. So what you want to do once you've found a supervisor that you know, and you want to look at a number of supervisors in your research area, but once you've found a supervisor, you want to identify the entry requirements to get into the school. Because even if a supervisor wants you as a student, you still have to get into the school where they teach. Okay, they have no say in that. You have to meet the minimum requirements to get into. So again, you're looking at your GPA, you're looking at your GRE scores, or any type of scores that you need to prepare to get into the university, maybe a portfolio depending on what you're doing, things like that. You have to make sure you get the right entry requirements. Then you want to contact this potential supervisor, you know. And when you contact the supervisor, you want to send like a small introductory email with a bit of a short resume or a short description of what you're all about and your research and skill sets. Then you want to, once if the professor or potential supervisor replies back, he or she will probably request a longer CV, a curriculum vitae, which is essentially a more detailed resume. You know, if he or she seems that it's required to get more information on you. Then what you want to do is you want to contact the supervisor once that's set up and set up a meeting, you know, face to face or on the phone meeting, depending where they're located. What the reason why you want to do this is you want to make sure that your personalities match up. You're going to be working with this person for 2 to 5 years, depending on what kind of degree you're going to be doing. You want to make sure that sort of your person that you guys are going to have a good time, you guys are going to get along, there's not going to be any clashes of personalities, and he or she is the right person to work with you. Because I've heard of horror stories for people who are working in this in research thesis degrees where they didn't get along with their professors, they didn't trust their professors or supervisors, and it made it a very bad experience. And I had a very good experience with my professor. We got along very well. You know, but it's also nice to know, you know, you have to be able to know beforehand or try and predict beforehand if you're going to get along with this person. Then you want to talk to current and past graduate students to find out what it was like to work with that professor. Because, you know, once you do that, you want to, you know, it's they're going to tell you what it was like to work with them and what it is like to work with them. You know, you need to know that kind of stuff. Again, it has to do with getting along well with people, what to expect when you start your graduate degree, and what to expect when you defend your graduate degree, because you will have to defend it in front of a committee. So it's very important that you know that. So we've gone into education, and you have a pretty good basis of what to look for. And we're going to see you in the next module. So the next thing we want to look at is your time as a student. There's specific things that I learned when I was an undergraduate and graduate that I took advantage of, and I think other things that I didn't take advantage of that I want to share to you to make sure that while you're in school, you take advantage of these things. So one, you have a number of opportunities being a student that you may not know of. So take advantage of these opportunities because they can really help you in the future. The first is you want to network with professors, researchers, and other students. Professors have a lot of contacts. Okay, they've built up, especially more experienced professors, more senior professors. They've built up a network of other professionals, other professors, other people in the NGO industry, and the regular industry, over their career, government and everything like that. So they have a lot of contacts. So getting along well with your professors is one of the best things you can do, and you can do it from first year university in your undergraduate. Professors are one of the most approachable people that I've ever met, and they're there to teach you, so they're there to help you along. They want you to succeed because it looks better on them that you've succeeded. So professors, researchers in labs, and fellow students that you're going to be going to school with, you're going to be doing projects with, presentations, things like that, you're going to be essentially going through your career with them. Networking with those professionals can help you get jobs in the future or set you up with opportunities to get jobs in the future. And also, there are course benefits as a student that you can, or there's some benefits that you can do in terms of courses, joining societies, going to conferences, at a cheaper rate. So you can join societies for half the price of what a professional would pay for. Or you can go to conferences for sometimes a third of the price of what professionals are going for. And you can take courses for free because of a university license with a specific course. So for instance, when I took my GIS diploma, okay, I was able to take courses. So GIS would have the major software that uses that employs GIS is called Esri software. It's a suite of tools and programs that you can use and used all over the world. It's probably the most popular GIS software brand out there. And it's quite expensive. It's not only quite expensive to get the software, but it's quite expensive to take the courses on. They have online courses. So not only am I going to get a basis in, through my program that I'm taking, my education program I'm taking, but I can take extra courses through Esri to learn more about specific tools and processes in the software. Now, the college that I went to had an agreement, had a software agreement with Esri, where we could take courses for free while we were a student at that school. So I was there for 8 months and I was able to take as many courses as I could and complete them. Now, what I didn't know back then was that if I took enough courses, I could become a certified teacher in GIS of Esri software and actually, run courses and tutorials and workshops for other people and actually make money off it. So it's one of those things that it probably wouldn't have been my career, but it could have been something that I could have done on the side and I could have earned money doing it and learn the tools better. So taking advantage of those courses if you have them at your university can be significantly important to your career in the future, whether it be a side job or part of your actual career. So it's very important that you take advantage of those courses. The other thing is learn as many skills as possible. You are being taught by probably some of the best experts in the world in their field. And they've acquired various skill sets. And you can learn those things using different opportunities. One is volunteer in a lab or as a research assistant or a lab assistant, or even just an assistant of a professor if they don't have a lab or a research center. Help them out and they will help you out in return. And you'll learn a number of different skill sets, including work-related experiences. So that's your education module. I hope you learned a lot, and we will see you in the next module.